Cliffcentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
360 Biz on Cliffcentral.com.
It is indeed 360 Biz. My name is Debo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment on 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. I'm welcoming my boy today who's been absent. My friend, have you been absent? Have you been on sick leave? What have you been? Congratulations on the little man, by the way.
Thank you very much. I've been in absentia.
Yeah, you've been.
The words. I laugh every time I go to a church service and they don't say, we would like to announce that so-and-so is absent.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to announce that Debo in his absence. Absentia.
or Barbara would like to honor him in absentia. So is this us honoring you in absentia?
Yeah, no, I think that the last two shows you're honoring me in absentia.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, it was to a good tune. I got my firstborn son, so which I'm very, very happy and chuffed about. It was a crazy and interesting experience. But trying to be an entrepreneur and have a kid at the same time is an interesting thing, because I was just looking at that little kid thinking to myself, I've just started a new business. This is my new entity right now.
And dude, it is a new entity. You know when they say your business is like a baby?
Yeah.
They talk about something like this. So you know, now you actually have a business that's a baby, and now you have the actual baby.
Ish.
So now you need to accountability comes in, you know? It means employing the right team.
And I mean, it's so interesting that we never think about it from their perspective. But I mean, it's exactly like that, because I mean, everyone from the, if you're getting an au pair, if you're getting a cleaner, if you're getting someone to assist you with the baby, everyone is part of the team, whether it's a driver or the school or the teacher, everyone is just part of the team in the development of this enterprise that you would like to, in the next few years, gain some form of return, or rather just add so much value that they're going to be able to grow and develop by themselves. It's such a very, very interesting thing, man. Very, very.
No, definitely it is. But more than anything, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
We gave you a shout out last week. I don't know if you heard that, man.
Definitely did. I mean, when I walked in, that's one of the first things. Everyone's like, do you have a baby? I was like, yes, I got a baby. Now you can call me daddy.
Yeah. But now, you know, I mean, in terms of now, you need to as well be empowering that baby, financially empowering with wisdom and giving him a legacy that he will carry from where you left off, right?
I mean, I think one of the things that hit me as I was sitting there outside the delivery room was, I actually need to hustle or work way harder than I did before, because everything was nice and comfortable for where I was or where I am. I'm able to afford where I am, but I have not created enough wealth to be able to assist him for where he is going. And I think it became that, you know, I started to think about priorities and started to think about realigning my priorities so that I can add more value, I mean, in his life. But most importantly, it's the last thing that you touched on there, the last point that you touched on there, the legacy.
Yes.
Because I need to now build a legacy. I can't build a puzzle shop business that won't have systems and processes. Now I actually need to work on the larger and bigger deal so that I can make sure that I ensure that he's going to have a life of options.
I mean, how do you begin, man? I mean, there's something I posted to you. I said you can have all the degrees in the world, but if you don't have a hustler's mentality and ambition, as a common sense, you'll be lost.
That's true.
So that hustler's mentality is something that you definitely need to have. But Bulelan, I mean, speaking of empowerment, it's our discussion today. Financial empowerment, I mean, is a new approach to poverty reduction that focuses on improving the financial security of low-income people. I mean, people speak of funding daily, as you know, Bulelani, but a few know that there's a financial empowerment in a form of grants and crowdfunding. Do you know anything about crowdfunding?
Just a little bit there and there. Not heavily exposed to crowdfunding grants and all that other stuff, definitely.
No, but obviously the grant, you know. I mean, that
no, man, I think the mantle of the grant resonates with me, because I was reading an article, I think in the Business Day, about that lady who got nabbed who was embezzling, I think, 37 million rand from the fund. Yeah, she's in Cape Town. It's amazing.
Yeah.
People are creative for the wrong things. But
I mean, speaking about that, I mean, right now, I know there's an ethics conference taking place. That has been, the discussion. I mean, I actually wanted to have a professor later on the show to actually discuss about the issues of ethics.
But yeah.
I think, so we will actually be busy trying to get him on the line. We'll see if we're able to get him and actually speak about the issues of ethics.
Money conversations.
Because money, we cannot speak about money, not speak about ethics, you know?
No, that's so true. That's true. You know, quite recently, I won't really iterate on the situation, but a friend of mine was at some court,
mm-hmm.
and this one guy was standing in queue to I don't know to appear or appeal or whatever his case.
Mm-hmm.
He had embezzled 110 million. He got into a brief conversation with that guy. I was like, "But dude, how do you feel?" That guy was like, "You know what, sister, I'm going in. I'm from the US.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go in for the next 10 years maximum.
Mm-hmm.
But look at it this way: after 10 years, I would have made 100 million. How much money would you made after 10 years? Like, it's crazy. Because I mean, it's financial gain, and I think we need to have that topic around ethics.
No, definitely. I think that needs to be a show on its own. That we cover that on its own. And more than anything, I mean, you don't want to miss the show. I mean, some of the guests that are joining us in studio today, if not on studio but on the line, it will be Mr. Vosiswani from Piedmont. There's a chairman. He actually deals with economic development of the organization, and they offer grants, my brother. Do you know that? They offer grants, and I told you about that last time. That you must go knock in these guys' doors. I mean, they're based in Egoredeni. I know they've been financing people. Over the years.
Who's that?
You'll get to hear them and actually speak to them on the show. And as well, we're going to be joined by Derek Whitehead, who's the CEO from Jumpstarter, to talk more about exploring some of these opportunities of crowdfunding. Jumpstarter is one of a few crowdfunding companies that we have in the country, or they're based all the way in Cape Town. And another thing, there's something that Bulela and we were actually discussing before we actually got onto the line. The issue of the issue of employees getting good employees.
Yeah.
Right now we're seeing big corporates, they actually do share schemes that they give to directors to come run their businesses.
Yeah.
So we're actually going to be joined on the line by Mr. Lawrence Crabb, who's the ESCO member of the South African Reward Association. We're going to be talking about the share schemes, and how to keep shareholders and CEOs happy. You are a CEO, my brother, and you are a shareholder. You need to be kept happy, and we need to be talking about these things. Definitely. I mean, we're going to catch all that right here on 360 Biz, right here on Cliff Central. You're allowed to join in on the discussion. Our studio line is 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is @ CliffCentral.com. We're on Facebook as well. Facebook page is Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. WeChat ID is Cliff Central. We're getting right straight to it, crossing all the way to a brother that I know that is actually living out there for developing businesses. That is Mr. Derek Whiteman from Jumpstarter. Mr. Derek Whiteman, how are you, my brother?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Zohar?
No, good, thanks. Derek, do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Hello, listeners. My name is Derek. I am one of the directors of a company called Jumpstarter, and we are a registered non-profit organization that specializes in crowdfunding.
Oh, so you're actually a non-profit?
Yes, we are a registered non-profit organization, that's correct.
Oh, okay. I actually thought you guys were for profit. but anyway.
I mean, the whole notion of crowdfunding has actually existed for centuries. From crowds that gathered to share and support pitches.
Mm-hmm.
But digital technology and social media have pretty much catapulted that notion to new heights and pretty much expanded the playing field and obviously the playbook. So we purely aim at the South African market.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a really great growth curve, which has been very nice.
So, I mean, tell me, Derek, how long have you guys been in existence?
Look, we pretty much started as a part-time venture about 4.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we launched the beginning of last year, and it's really taken off. I mean, we approached Google, being a non-profit, and we also actually received a grant from them through the AdWords. And, we've been really, really growing very nicely, which has been great. And, We're purely South African.
So now, when you said you approached Google, and they've actually given you guys funding to actually make a difference out there. Do you want to tell me in terms of the value that you promised Google? Because I know that when you're looking or when you come to me, for instance, for funding, obviously we look at more things on the value add that you're going to bring as Jumpstarter. What was one of the values that you guys had mentioned that you guys are going to be bringing for you guys to get the grant?
Well, Jumpstarter is a new way to fund creative projects for individuals, charities, and businesses. So we are a registered nonprofit organization, and that's the one of the parts that Google appreciated, that they help a lot of nonprofit organizations worldwide. And our approach is obviously we believe that a good idea communicated well can spread fast and wide, and a large group of people can be a tremendous source of money and encouragement. So we had to do a lot of research, get a lot of people together, and we've all got different network of people and specialists. And through that, we were able to construct something that we were very proud of. And we launched live last year. And it's like I was saying, it's been taking off very nice. And it's a very nice philanthropic business, if you think of it like that.
So then tell me, I mean, in terms of business funding or grants as per se, I mean, we've got a lot of companies that financing businesses. That are financing techno companies, that are financing property businesses, and you guys decided to go for a niche of the creative arts. I mean, that is films, that is designs, that is games, that is photography, and I mean, it's actually one of the sectors that my brother here, Bulelana, I'm sitting with in studio, is actually focused on. Why did you specifically decide to look at that sector other than business as a whole?
Well, this jump for power.
Derek, are you there? Can you get a better position and start from scratch? I can hear you.
Okay, so like I was saying, Jumpstarter is powered by a unique 100% or nothing funding method, where projects must be fully funded or no money changes hands. And look, there are four different types of crowdfunding internationally. And simply defined broadly, crowdfunding is a joint effort by individuals to support a cause, company, organization. And the individuals are collectively referred to as the crowd, whether it be an individual person or an actual company itself. So, I mean, the role of individuals is simply to pool their resources. And the resource most commonly pooled is money. And that's how the word funding was added to the word crowd to get crowdfunding.
So,
there are basically four different types of crowdfunding.
Okay.
And the four types are donations. So basically donation-based crowdfunding, that's when the crowd gives money or some other resource because they want to support the cause. An example of that is like a youth soccer team which is raising money to travel to a tournament.
Okay.
And the crowd gives money and gets nothing in return other than a good feeling that they know that the team can travel to compete. And then you get reward-based crowdfunding.
Okay.
And this is what Jumpstarter set up is. So Jumpstarter, individuals forming the crowd give money to a business, charity, or individual in exchange for a reward. So typically a product or service that particularly a company or individual produces or provides. So reward-based crowdfunding has been made popular by a few other big crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, etc. internationally.
Yeah.
So, and the third one is equity-based crowdfunding. So, members of the crowd become part owners of the project or company which is raising funds. So, in other words, you know, a company that sells some or all of its shares to members of the crowd. So, as equity owners of the company, the crowd realizes that, you know, they have a return on investment directly with the actual company that they or project that they're investing in. And the last one is debt crowdfunding. And this is where the company raising or individual raising money doesn't sell shares, but instead borrows money from the crowd. So the individuals lending the money receive the company's legally binding commitment to repay the loan at certain intervals.
Wow. I mean, it's quite a unique business model that you guys have there.
Yes. You know, look, I mean, we got our idea from Kickstarter in America, which we're watching closely, and we saw them, like, they've grown now into a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Mm.
And they've done some great stuff. But we wanted to aim 100% at the South African market, where we saw that there was so much potential there, and how a sort of a funding model like this would work really well. And it was just sitting up. Obviously, the banking system in South Africa is a lot different to America. So there were quite a few hurdles we had to get around there. And the fact that we were a non-profit organization really helped things a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good approach, being a philanthropic sort of approach to the funding model. So it's also just a passion that you know, we've got a great team on board, and we can really help people to achieve the funds that they want for their project.
But do you understand, though, that you... I mean, I've never had a person that does what you guys are doing. Unless, Bulelani, have you had somebody that does what they do?
No, definitely not. I mean, I'm just browsing through the website as well, and I'm seeing amazing things. So anyone could just... I mean, is this a platform that's open to anyone who'd like to throw something out there, or is there a validation process that you guys take them through?
Look, it's open to anyone. We also have people from like Mozambique or Tanzania, etc., who've also been interested. And we're able to accept international pledges. But now the thing is that you need to understand how crowdfunding works. And our blog section on our website has a lot of information as to how you crowdfund and how we work. Also, our frequently asked questions, our FAQ page, is also fantastic. It gives you all the basic approaches and what you should use and how you understand how we work.
Mm-hmm.
And every project, look, anyone can actually post their project correctly, and then it comes to us, and we basically will validate it. And if it's good enough, we will post it live, or alternatively, we will apply directly to the project creator and give them a breakdown as to little tips that they need to do to improve the campaign before we can post it live.
Hmm.
So we want to work with every single person that wants to post their project, because obviously if they are successful, then we're successful. We want to work with everyone that wants to actually really post their own project.
Hmm. So then tell me, Derek, how long have you guys been in existence?
We've been in existence for about 4.5 years now, but we went live in February last year.
Yeah, no, because that is now full time. Because earlier you had mentioned that it was passive for the first 4 years, and
technical exercise to get it up and running correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were quite a few hurdles we had to get around. Obviously, the fact that we were going to be accepting and dealing with people's finance,
mm-hmm.
and obviously create a funding model. And like I said earlier, you know, the fact that we ended up sort of being registered as a non-profit organization was quite a good sort of route for us to go. And I mean, we also work very closely with a payment provider online. We're also working with PayFast and also now with PayGate as well. Both of these companies are 150% South African. And the money to travel only in one direction in South Africa.
Mm. So, sorry, Derek, you can finish?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm saying you can finish up.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I can hear you. Derek, can you hear me?
Yes,
sir. Oh, okay. Derek, then tell me, in terms of now, you've just been formally over a year. Do you have a lot of success stories?
Yes, you know, I mean, sure. From our very first campaign that we very successfully awarded,
yeah.
and funded, that was for a band in Durban called the Gus Brown Band.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed everything correctly on simply setting up their own project page, which everyone who wants to post a project gets.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized the power of video. So it actually gives you a sort of a snippet as to who the band was, what they do, what their music sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave it a personal introduction as to who they were, why they raised the money, how much they were wanting to raise.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the rewards that people receive. I think from 50 rand, a person would receive a signed CD. Then I think for 150 rand, they get a signed CD and T-shirt. And then for 500 rand, they get a signed CD, T-shirt, and a hoodie. And if someone pledged 5,000 rand, they got a free 2-hour concert anywhere in Durban. And they were great because it's not too difficult to get your project live if it's done correctly.
Yeah.
But work really starts when the project is live. You need to do a lot of metrics as a project creator, because you've appealed to lots of different people.
Mm.
And obviously, people are going to be helping to fund you. And they followed everything correctly and actually completely exceeded what they wanted, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So it was a great sort of birth creating them.
So now, tell me, Derek, how do people want people that are listening? They want to tap on some of the opportunities that you have. How do they get hold of you?
Okay, well, on my website, there's a contact page which is responded to pretty much daily. But there's also lots of interesting articles there on people how you launch a project, what you should be doing.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's a fantastic sort of article there, which is pretty much just 7 things to consider before you launch your crowdfunding project. I can take you to
that now if you'd like to. Yeah, I mean, you've been speaking about this website that I think you've really been pimping up, and it clearly it has a lot of content. Do you want to give us the website address?
Yes. It's jumpstarter.co.za.
Okay.
And then you'll be able to see everything. You've got a lot of information up there with some great videos from people and an article.
Okay. Yeah. The website is jumpstarter.co.za. Yeah. No. Definitely. Thanks a lot, Derek, for joining us. And that was quite insightful. Hopefully, maybe we'll be able to have a discussion and maybe interrogate this business model of yours and what you do, sometime in the future. Hopefully, to have you in studio whenever you come to Joburg, then we take it from there.
Thank you very much.
No. Okay, thanks a lot. Yeah, so Bulelani, you know, it's interesting this issue of crowdfunding.
Yeah.
And Wes, I mean, we know of a lot of grants and funding within the business aspect, but instead he decided to customize his business model to make it more of the creative space. Obviously, that's a space that you and what do you think of that?
I mean, I find it to be very interesting. I mean, I was just browsing through the site and past some of the past projects where people went on there and they crowdfunded. I mean, going all the way up to about 52,000. And I think that some of the things that I'd like to know, maybe those are the things that are covered in the FAQ, is, I mean, how do they prevent things like someone sending out a claim that they've got a cousin or a sister who's sick, who's in the hospital, and people donate and there's no sick cousin. But I mean, apart from that as well is, you know, it would be nice when one is going into this, trying to put together something that is going to attract people to fund, if I would know what are people most likely to fund, because I'm seeing certain things, yeah, that haven't been bidded for yet. Some have done extremely well. So those kind of things would actually push it in terms of understanding. But I mean, I also find it particularly interesting that they actually focused on the creative element. And I guess maybe that's just their niche. And I mean, that means that would then leave room for us to start our own crowdfund, maybe for construction.
you just giving me an idea that to if you want to be involved in funding of upcoming developments, properties, and you know
exactly. I mean, we should be the guys that are building the Mall of Africa's of this country, anyway.
Dude, you know.
So I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, come to think of it, that for me, I don't understand why. I mean, the first time I was exposed to the issue of crowdfunding, I was in Israel, and it was interesting to discover a country where money is not the problem. The problem is how to spend it, as far as entrepreneurship is concerned. And where else you come to South Africa, funding is one of the biggest financial empowerment. It's one of the biggest challenges that we have as a country, not only as a country, but as a continent. I mean, that as well speaks to actually our next guest that I'm going to be having on the line. I mean, these guys, they've been funding, I think, the people, as far as I know, for the longest time. I mean, they have a total CR spent of 23.1 million. Of which in the previous year, 42.1 million was funded by donations from Piemont, 4.9 million was generated from investment income, and 4 million was funded from capital provided through previous Piemont projects and dividend. I'm sure you might have picked up that I'm speaking about Piemont Trust. I mean, you're from Egron, I'm sure you know Piemont.
I've heard about the PM1 trucks. I've always wanted to talk to them because we're doing amazing things there.
Yeah.
Finally.
Listen, you're saying finally. The man that I actually have on the line, it's a man that I respect very much. Not only that he's an entrepreneur himself, but it's somebody that I know who's very passionate about the development of entrepreneurs, somebody that I look up to very much, you know, within the community. His name is Mr. Vosizwane. Mr. Zwane, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, my brother. How are you today?
No.
Good afternoon to your listeners as well.
No, definitely. Thank you for joining us for the first time ever on Cliff Central. Hey.
Yeah, I hope we have more of these as we discuss this very important subject. You know.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm really hoping to have more of these. And as well, I mean, I would like as well, maybe in the future, showcase some of your success stories. I mean, let's have them in studio. Let's talk about some of the amazing work that you do. Because, I mean, right now, as the business community, people don't know that we've got organizations like yourself and people like you that are passionate about entrepreneurship and that are passionate about young people. I know that you guys have been doing amazing things, not only from a township perspective, township entrepreneurs, but from the youth development as well, and as far as schools is concerned. I think maybe let me start by congratulating you on the amazing work that you guys are doing.
No, thanks for that. And as you know we've been involved with community development, community support since inception, and you know, the view that we hold here at Empress, certainly our holding company, which is Piemont, is that, you know, government cannot be the sole agent for change. You know, big business needs to put in their, you know, work. Big business needs to be a party to some of these interventions to make sure that, you know, we grow our entrepreneurs, that we grow the guys that have got brilliant business ideas, and that's how the economy can grow, and that's how we can deal with issues of poverty, that's how we can deal with the issues of unemployment and all the problems that come, social ills that come with that.
No, that's definitely true. Mr. Zwane, do you want to start by taking this opportunity to say hi to our listeners, tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Yes, you know, as I was just explaining, and good afternoon again to our listeners. You captured, for me is the DNA of Piemont since inception. We made up our minds long before the regulatory, you know, requirements came up, you know, in terms of the codes and everything else. We started this right, you know, we had the vision right at the beginning, right at the time when we established this company, Piemont, which, as you know, we are in the gaming and the hospitality space, and our flagship, hotel and casino is Empress Palace, in Kempton Park, very close to O.R. Tambo International Airport. So we had this vision. It's not something that was imposed on us. And as the black shareholders at the time, you know, being an individual shareholder together with the Mine Workers Investment Company, some will be very familiar with that, which is an investment company for the National Union of Mine Workers, as well as WDB, the Women's Development Bank, which, you know, works in the space of women empowerment. We decided that, you know, we will go the different way. We decided to encode our, you know, assistance to communities in the form of trust, who in their own right, they are, you know, they have a legal, you know, status of their own. And the reason behind that was that, you know, most of the companies will approach this space where they say we'll spend 1% of our PAT, profit after tax. But with us, we thought, you know, the black shoulders at the time, working obviously with, you know, our business partners at the time, we thought that the best way to approach this is to ring fence these entities, to make sure that you know, when the times are good, this trust can share on the upside of the company, not just to say it's 1% of PAT and that's where we go. So we've actually made these entities actual partners in the company. And as you rightly capture that, we've got the Piedmont Children's Trust, which does, the early childhood development. We work in the great art space, and we established safe havens for these kids to do homework, because one of the problems that come, as with the child abuse and everything else, is where these kids leave school at 2, and they've got no parents, to receive them when they get home, and that's where a lot of problems come about. So we've created these, places of safety where we've employed childminders to sit with them. We feed them and they help them to do homework so that, they keep them in the school in a safe environment and they can go back home around 5 or so when the parents are back or when some of, the brothers or sisters are back. And we also have the Piedmont Education Trust.
Yes, that's the one we want to hear about.
Yeah, that's a big one. A big one where we give scholarships. And I say scholarship very deliberately because it's more than just the bursary. We give scholarships to these youngsters. And our scholarship covers everything, the tuition, books, accommodation,
mm-hmm.
and, pocket money. They get laptops. So we equip them with everything that they need.
Yeah.
And we've produced medical doctors, we've produced engineers, and, these kids, they support that we give them through, each of these trusts will have an administrator
mm-hmm.
that looks after these kids. We give them the full support so that their only concern should be to study and, improve on their results. Hence, with all these, these are not kids that are doing what I call soft degrees, but they are, they're doing BSc, they're in engineering.
Yeah, no, that one is it's actually true. Because for me, this one is very close to my heart. Without disturbing you, Mr. Zwane, because as a country and as a continent, we're in shortage of skills, and some of us that are in business, we hardly get professionals because people don't have an opportunity to go to school, and obviously that's where you guys are coming in to actually assist them. But now, I mean, coming to now, I know that now you also look after business under the Egoruleni Piedmont Chamber of Commerce Trust. Do you want to tell us more about that?
Yeah, just briefly, maybe just to give you a brief overview of the Piedmont Egoruleni Chambers of Commerce Trust. This trust we founded in February of 2007.
Okay.
And, this was part of our gaming license when we, approached the gambling boards to apply for the gaming or the gambling license. And that trust, the nice thing about it, though, and I'll talk about this later when we talk about the challenges to small business. One of the key things, one of the fundamental differentiators about, Epcot is that we don't give loans. We give grants. And there's a deliberate reason for that. Most of the people, they'll tell you, and I'm sure you hear this story all the time, when people come on air as your guests, that one of the biggest impediments to small business is access to capital.
Yes, no, definitely.
Exactly.
Mm.
And so when you have a startup, and you go to a financial institution and people want you to set up a deposit or a collateral. Our people don't have that.
That is so true.
Unfortunately, they don't have that. They've got brilliant ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They know what to do, but unfortunately, that's just how the big financial institutions work. If you don't have the money, if you don't have a down payment or a deposit, if you don't have a collateral to support that loan, you will not succeed. So we saw the need to say, let's close that gap, that financing gap, and come up not even with a soft loan, but to come up with a grant. It's a 100% grant. And obviously, I'll talk about what, you need, those boxes that you need to make sure that you tick, but we've made it much more user-friendly.
Yes, that was actually going to be my next question in terms of what criteria or what's the process of the application.
Yeah, first and foremost, of course, it's important because of the fact that these are grants.
Mm-hmm.
this money goes out and it doesn't come back to us. We've had some successes where people make money. But the fact that it's a one-way, it's not like if we give you a rent, pay us a rent back, that you can support another person,
mm-hmm.
or a soft loan where we don't charge interest. We just, decided that we'll go for now on 100% grant. So the rent that you get, you don't have to pay back. But we hope that it will tick certain box for us. And one of the things, of course, that company must have a certificate of incorporation.
Mm-hmm.
That company must be
a registered business.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a Pty Ltd, it must be registered in terms of the companies and the Intellectual Property Act, which determines what you need to do to operate a legal business in South Africa. And, it must have a tax clearance certificate or tax exemption,
mm-hmm.
Depending, whatever is applicable in that case. And because we're taking more risk, and as I say, we have to be circumspect because of that factor, we will need at least, some demonstration or some financial statements, your latest financials, and we understand that most of the small business that they can't do the proper financials where they go to an audit firm and they've got proper financials. So in that case, again, we're very mindful because we know what are the challenges that the small businesses face. So we will accept at face value, obviously going back to make sure that the numbers make sense to us. We'll also, and that there's proper management accounts. So we'll take that, the management accounts in the place of proper financial statements,
mm-hmm.
and that will suffice in this case. And of course, we'll need the latest bank statement just to see how, again, you manage your funds, because that's very critical. We'll of course need again, the certificate of accreditation if you are a training provider or of any sort, and the letters of intent from potential or current clients, where a guy you need some capital injection. And you can demonstrate that I do school uniform, but I've got these orders from two or three of the schools. Then that demonstrates that the money that we give you will go into good use. That's very key. When you produce those letters of intent, and most of the people, again, we understand that they operate from council-owned land, So we need that, you know, clearance, you know, in terms of the council clearance, wherever you operate from, to make sure that all the safety issues, the requirements set up, you know, by the council bylaws, that we don't want to encourage people to break the law. So we'll need at least to be satisfied ourselves that you've got that clearance certificate from the local authorities. And, of course, you know, the registration with the industry regulatory bodies, if, for example, you know, you are in tourism, it will be the Tourism Grading Council, you know, the tour operators associations and all of that, just to make sure that, you know, our businesses, they comply with the normal standards, that you can't compromise on the standards. You don't want somebody who's, you know, trying, you know, to grind steel right next to you as a neighbor. So we want to make sure that people don't undermine, you know, the bylaws, that people don't undermine the laws of the country.
Yes.
So that's you know, of course, there's an application form that you do. It must be completed and it must be, you know, everybody has to be honest. Because again, you know, we're giving the money and they will give you the due date for submission, which is normally 10 days before the Board of Trustees meeting. So we'll require, you know, so that the trust administrator can then tell you, you know, give you a heads up in terms of, oh, you need that form, it's missing, you need that form, so that by the time we meet, you know, as the board, at least, you know, we don't, you know, disadvantage you because you didn't bring in one document, whether it's your financials or management accounts. So, you know, our trust administrator will sit with you and go through all of that to make sure that all the boxes are ticked before we sit down and adjudicate on your funding application.
Yeah. So, Mr. Zwane, once these businesses have been proved. And they have been legible, some of them have been funded. I mean, does Piedmont outsource or recommend some of these services of these enterprises they support?
Yeah, we do. I mean, for example, there's a company that we granted, you know, their funding, and we are now procuring soap. We're now procuring all the soaps and all the, you know, the creams that we use in our hotel. So, you know, we do go back. And obviously, you know, because, again, you know, we operate, you know, at Piedmont and, you know, if you've been to any of our, you know, hotels, you know that the standard is very high.
I know.
And people have to meet those standards. And once they do, and we do that, we do go back and we do also recommend that service to other, you know, customers or other service providers that come through to our doors.
Yeah. So then, do you have a big success rate?
Yes, of course. There's always. I mean, you know, you're operating, as you know, in one of those very high risk areas. You know, the failure rate of you know, startups, you know, is very, very high, and that's not just in South Africa. It's, you know, it's across the globe.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I'm very proud when you look at our success rate. It far, you know, out, you know, performs what you'd say is the failure rate. So, you know, I'm very upbeat about that.
Mm-mm.
Maybe it also speaks to, you know, the diligence that, you know, we approach and that scrutiny, you know, that we approach these funding requests.
And Mr. Zwane, I'm looking at our social media. It's actually responding. People want to get more information about what is that you guys do. I mean, if ever someone is listening out there and has a business plan and would like to apply for this funding, where can they get more information or contact details?
Yeah, we have, as I was saying earlier, you know, we have, you know, for each of these trusts, whether it's the education or that, we have,
trust administrator,
a fully, a full person that operates, and the best person, you know, who is the one that manages the Epcot is, and I'll just give you the details, is Makomane Ntabo,
okay.
N-T-A-B-O.
Mm-hmm.
And people can reach him, the office number, his direct line is 011-928-1966. And his email address is M. Ntabo,
it's N-T-A-B-O.
N-T-A-B-O.
M Ntabo.
Yeah, at Empress Palace.
At Empress Palace.
.com. Yeah.
Okay. Let me just repeat that again. The number is 011-928-6966.
No, 1966.
Okay, yeah, 19.
Sorry. Yeah, 011-928-1966.
Yeah. 1966. Okay,
yeah.
And the email is mntabo at emperors.com.
No, Empress Palace.
Empress Palace.
Word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Empress Palace, one word, .com.
Oh, okay. No, thanks a lot, Mr. Zwani, for your
time. And they can reach him between 8 and 5.
Between 8 and 5.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, no, definitely. Mr. Zwani, thanks a lot for your time. Hopefully we'll get to have you in studio soon and showcasing some of your success stories that you've had in regards to the projects that you've funded.
Yeah. And can I just give, you were talking earlier how we support these businesses. That's very critical.
Mm-hmm.
We, in partnership with the city, we established a one-stop shop.
Okay.
That's the Business Facilitation Network, which is, an incubation hub for small businesses. It's a one-stop shop,
mm-hmm.
no appointment, and you can go there, and I'll give you the address. It's the Business Facilitation Network.
Okay, Business
Facilitation
Network.
And that's on corner of Fort Trekker and Monument Street in Kempton Park.
Hmm.
And there, the other funding agencies, all the government funding agencies are located. So if you need tax advice and everything,
mm-hmm.
all those government funding agencies are located there. And these are our partners,
mm-hmm.
Including APSA, Small Business Finance.
Mm. No, Mr. Zwani, you can't be having such juicy information and we're doing a telephonic. I can't wait to to start arranging having you in studio. Then we can discuss more with some of the agencies that you're in partnership with.
I'd welcome that. For the benefit of your listeners.
Yes, no, definitely. No, I really appreciate your time, Mr. Zwani, and looking forward to having a discussion. I can definitely have you in studio and as well providing one of two success stories that you have.
No, thanks. Thanks, my brother. I appreciate the time. And, we have to keep working on this and until you get it right.
Yes, no, definitely.
Yeah. Sure, thanks.
That was Mr. Vusi Zwani from Piemont Trust. Bulela, you didn't know how people are doing such amazing things, are they?
No, man. I mean, wow. Empress Palace, Piemont, shout out. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, being an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. which is about 5 kilometers away mm-hmm. from where we are, I mean, it's very interesting to find that they have been so supportive mm. of the campaigns in the township and developing and revitalizing the township. I mean, they've taken it on as such a large corporate to give back. It's amazing.
I'm definitely
going to be getting in touch with them.
I mean, speaking of large corporate, right now we know that in terms of large corporate, they're doing a lot of share schemes, that keep shareholders and CEOs happy out there. I mean, the person that we're going to have a discussion with is Mr. Lawrence Crabb. Mr. Lawrence Crabb, how are you?
Hello, Tuboko. Well, thank you, and yourself?
No, good, thanks. Mr. Lawrence, apologies that we've taken up much of your time with the previous discussion. Do you want to tell us quickly what is it that you do?
SARA is an organization that promotes and develops remuneration profession in South Africa. So we help companies to pay their employees and executives as best as possible.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I mean, what it's the South African Reward Association, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yes. Mr. Schwab, tell me, I mean, we were having a discussion earlier with Bulelani quickly in terms of executives and remuneration, because I know it's one of the things that we struggle with, especially as small businesses, mainly looked after as far as corporate is concerned. Why would you say small businesses are neglecting that?
I didn't hear the last part of your question.
Okay, I'm saying the issue of share schemes, we've realized mainly it's done within big corporates, not correct. Small business. Is it something that they are aware of?
Yes, it is obviously for large corporations, as you say, but more and more we're finding small companies are also wanting to look at how to retain their executives and also how to motivate them to look after the shareholders' interests.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the share schemes are not only for your large corporates, but also for, and it makes a lot of sense because a lot of research is out there that shows that companies with well-designed and implemented incentive schemes generally outperform those that don't have them.
Really?
So it does make sense for companies to look at that and invest in one.
So, Mr. Krupp, because right now, I mean, what you're sharing with us, it's quite interesting and it's very insightful, and I really want us to interrogate it further. But obviously, looking at the time, we've got about 2 minutes to actually get out of it. Can I perhaps arrange that we have a full show around this discussion, and we have you in studio, and we actually interrogate it further in terms of why, as most businesses that are exploring that model, become more successful than the other, and maybe you could as well advise on how can other businesses better implement, that in terms of I'm rewarding obviously their executives and making their businesses sustainable. So I know Van, definitely as far as Bulelani is concerned as well, and some of our listeners, I know would like to hear more about the South African Reward Association. Would you be perhaps open to having that discussion with us sometime?
Absolutely, Tabofo. Yes, that's exactly what we want to do as SARA, to try and assist people out there. So yes, with absolute pleasure.
Oh, okay, Lawrence. Maybe for now, I think can you kindly give us information as to where can people get more information in terms of getting a hold of you guys? Then I'll arrange with Kathleen in terms of having you in studio.
If they Google SARA, South African Reward Association. South African Award Association.
Okay.
They'll be able to see there the contact details for the association, and they're welcome to send emails in or contact us through any contact details that are on the site.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, much appreciated. I'll get hold of Kathleen and so that we bring you in studio and we actually do justice to this discussion. I wouldn't want to rape the discussion and miss the most important aspect of it.
Okay, super, Tavoko. Look forward to that.
No, okay, thanks a lot, Mr. Lawrence. Thank you. Okay. Bulelani, it was power pack today.
Piedmont. it was an amazing show. Very informative.
Yes.
Very informative.
No, definitely. No, this is all that we had for you today, right here on 360 Biz. I'm out.
Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.